Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. 2 days into the battle against wind-fueled wildfires on the island of Maui, officials there now confirm at least 53 people have died, with many more missing.
Until you see the devastation that we all witnessed, maybe through photographs before this morning, but in person today, it's difficult to describe.
Maui County Mayor Richard Bisson, and with the latest KGMB-TV's McKenna Maduli.
More than 100 National Guard members have been deployed, with more than a dozen helicopters conducting water drops and helping with the search for survivors. The Coast Guard rescued 17 people who ran into the ocean to escape the flames in an apocalyptic scene.
Still get dead bodies in the water floating and on the seawall.
Strong winds, in part from Hurricane Dora to the south, and dry conditions have fueled the fires, which are among the deadliest in the U.S. in modern history.
Coming up in mid-morning, a federal court hearing in Washington on how much Donald Trump should be allowed to say about evidence in the election interference case against him. Noah Bookbinder is with Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics.
In this case, where Donald Trump has made clear that he has every intention to talk about prosecutors, talk about potential witnesses, it becomes more important than it would be in an ordinary case.
In what is seen as a first step in a potential prisoner exchange deal, Iran is moving 5 detained Americans of Iranian descent from prison to house arrest.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken said the State Department had spoken with the 5 American detainees released from an Iranian prison and into house arrest, and said they were, quote, needless to say, very happy. In his first public remarks about the deal, Blinken said it was just the beginning of a process, but that he believed it was the beginning of the end of a nightmare that the prisoners and their families had experienced.
CBS's Olivia Gazis, Iran is supposed to get limited access to currently frozen money. The Supreme Court puts up a temporary roadblock to a nationwide settlement with OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
The settlement was reached last year with state and local governments, but the Biden administration had asked the high court to block it. It said members of the Sackler family shouldn't be released from legal liability. The justices blocked the agreement for now, but scheduled arguments over whether to allow it to proceed.
Entertainment news from the House of Mouse, whose streaming services might be in a trap and could be costing a bit more.
Disney Plus lost subscribers for the third straight quarter as Disney's media and entertainment division sustained a double-digit revenue decline.
CBS Business reporter Jason Brooks. Police in Ecuador report 6 men arrested as suspects in the assassination of an anti-corruption presidential candidate are Colombian nationals. Checking the futures markets, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ all pointing up. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/...
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Cut. okay? The pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy States, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joe Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. And it's like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk of text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time? Party. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
What, oh what, do young conservative voters want? 844-967-2789. And I am fully aware that we may not be able to answer this. That today, considering I don't know how many young conservatives listen to this show.
That's a good point.
And if they do, they may not be listening right now because they're at work. But it is a question that Republicans themselves are trying to figure out and answer, not only just in Wisconsin, but I think nationwide. And I bring this up today because there was a profile in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Tyler Katzenberger, who is Gen Z. He is an intern with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this year. He was a political intern with Cap Times last year. I got to meet him last year. He's wonderful. But he did a kind of a, it's a little bit of a profile on Brian Schimming and the Wisconsin, the chairman of the Wisconsin GOP. And a little bit, he interviews some young Republicans and just kind of points out the discrepancy that is happening with Republicans' attempt to have the same success with young people that Democrats have had, both in the last midterms and in Wisconsin in the Supreme Court race in April. And, you know, I want to try to talk about this topic genuinely, but I don't know, it's funny because I feel like while many people listening right now might consider me young at 37, which I am, I'm also not 21, and I don't know a lot of 21-year-olds,
which kind of surprises me.
Why does that surprise
just because
you?
You know such a wide range of people, you really do.
I think like the of my friends, it bottoms out at like maybe late 20s.
Yeah.
When you're 37 and you try to talk to a 21-year-old, you may feel young. And then you talk to someone who's like that young and you're like, oh man, I'm old.
I'm old, yeah, right. Priority's a little bit different.
And so it's interesting. And it's funny because, you know, this is politics, but it's also what advertisers are constantly trying to figure out.
Oh,
too,
it's all
right?
About demographics,
right?
For
and
sure.
Just what does Gen Z want? What do they respond to? And at least with politics, there's some polling that can be done versus the nebulousness. Is that a word?
Nebulous is a word.
Nebulousness as a noun.
We'll look it up.
Nebulous, because nebulous is an adjective.
Yes.
the noun of whatever nebulous is. Of, you know, what do Gen Z respond to? One thing they certainly responded to was the Grimace milkshake thing that an advertising came up. Did you not hear about this?
No.
So it was a trend that was going on social media when Grimace from McDonald's, I think it was his birthday or something. And so McDonald's introduced a purple milkshake. And it started taking over TikTok of doing this like Grimace challenge where basically you'd order a milkshake and then people were coming up with these extravagant, like paranormal ways that they died from drinking the milkshake. And it was just like elaborate videos that people were making. And there was thousands of them. And lo and behold, that wasn't just like an organic thing that started. An advertising company helped, worked with McDonald's and planted that.
Very smart.
And that's like one of the few advertising campaigns I've, like, because like Gen Z is just weird. Like they like weird things. They're super smart. They're super like, there's like a bunch of existential things that they like. They're very like anti things that are cringe to them. And for some reason that took hold. But in general, advertising has like fallen very flat for that generation. And I think similarly, it's interesting to think about what is the generational gap that's happening more distinctly with Republicans than Democrats when it comes to reaching like 18 to 25 year olds. And so I would love to hear from you, especially if you have young people in your life, like what are the things that they care about? 844-967-2789. And I, because I read this Journal Sentinel article, and while they don't really point to any polling of young people, they kind of just take a couple anecdotes of Republican leaders, like young leaders at Madison or Milwaukee. And like the two they kind of come up with are crime and inflation.
Inflation.
And inflation, because the thing is, being a broke college student, like that makes sense to me to a certain extent of like things are expensive. Crime feels less on the money. And this all kind of like this article and some of the answers that were given kind of just reminded me of like top down, like stretching the argument. Like these are the issues as Republicans we want to focus on. So we're like finding the young people who also agree with that.
Yeah.
Versus actually listening to young people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And because of course you're always going to find someone or a handful of someones who are like, yeah, that's a big deal. But it reminded me of last August during the gubernatorial primary debate with Rebecca Clayfish and Tim Michaels and Tim. Who's the other Tim? Tim Time.
Yeah.
And Rebecca Clayfish stood on that stage who has two young daughters and was like, I really think young people care about income taxes. I was like, I don't think so. I think they're more excited about following the fun city or the fun job than how much they're paying. Like, that's how they're choosing where they're going to live. I think you're just wish casting a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
So I would love to hear from you if you have an idea, if you've talked to young people. What is the gap? What is the gap between younger and older Republican voters? Because there are young conservatives.
Certainly.
Turning Points USA claims that they have like 1,300 chapters across high schools and colleges. And there are young Republicans. And so it's not like, oh, they just don't. But it's just they're not motivating them to vote. And reading this article is like, I still don't think you get it. Even though you say it's important to you, like it doesn't feel like you're listening. But I could be totally wrong. 844-967-2789.
Jack from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack. What do you want to say?
Good morning. Well, my son just graduated this spring from UW-Eau Claire. And while he tends to be progressive, a bit less than I, more towards his mother's side. But in any case, he had a girlfriend who was from a very, very conservative family up in the farming country around the UW. And one of the things that I heard on occasion was that she was concerned about the cost of education.
Mm-hmm.
She was going to school at Eau Claire, too, and it cost, you know, $10,000 a year for schooling at a public university. Excuse me, that's like $40,000 or $50,000 that you have to pay before you even can look for a job. Another thing that I know that she was concerned about, being from a farming area, is the environment. And yeah, she does know about, you know, global warming, and you know, was quite concerned about that. But Republicans are going to have a heck of a time recruiting significant numbers of young voters if they do things like, for instance, cut funding to education, keep people who are obviously anti-environment on the DNR board, like this guy Prem was, for two additional years. They're going to have trouble recruiting young people if they throw barriers to voting, like, mm-hmm, for instance, not being able to use a student ID or moving voting precincts away from campuses. I mean, this is a problem, and this has been one of their big thrusts. I can't remember who stated it, but one of the upper-level Republicans in Wisconsin stated something like, we've got to do something to keep these college students from voting. It's a terrible thing. They can get out of bed on a Tuesday morning, vote, turn around, and go back to bed.
That was Cleta Mitchell. Yeah,
Cleta Mitchell. Yeah, we don't want to make it easy for those kids, Jack.
Thanks so much for the call, Jack. And it's interesting, yeah, the anecdote that he just gave of his son's girlfriend, because I was in the attempt to try to talk about this in a genuine way this morning and not just like make fun of it. I was trying to Google and find what I could find about this topic. And it's interesting, in some of the articles, I think there was a couple from NPR, there was a couple from Pew Research, that like, that he actually hit the nail on the head. It is the economy, because it's struggling, like more and more Gen Z and millennials are struggling to keep their head above water.
Yep.
So it's affordable housing, both rent and am I ever going to be able to buy a house? It's the cost of, it's the fact that there is no accountability to the universities just to continue to get more and more expensive. And it also is the environment. Even young conservatives are seeing the writing on the wall.
Yes.
And that there is not that same, there's a generational gap between, at least what I'm reading. Again, this is, I can't speak, because that is not my community, but at least what I read this morning is exactly that there is a lot of young conservatives, including people who spoke on panels at CPAC.
Oh, wow.
Talking about the environment, which obviously was very different than what was happening at this on the main stage.
Oh, sure.
And some of the other stuff there was a Vanity Fair article saying the conservative youth movement is still going strong, except at the polls. And one of the things that they also mentioned in that one is, there's a huge generational divide between young and old conservatives in religion and how religious they are. And so the fact that there is such a doubling down on, you know, Christian nationalism, while there are, I think, more than a third of Generation Z currently in their late teens and early 20s in America identify as religiously unaffiliated. And some of those are obviously young conservatives. And so we're going to keep this going after the break. But if you have thoughts on what do young conservatives want, especially young conservative voters, we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. The kids are all
right. The kids are all right. Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year?
It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
When you want something so badly, what you're able to justify and rationalize and get over. So I would say there's not a non-zero chance.
But what record would she run on? Foxconn?
I mean, what did she run on for governor? Probably the same thing.
I just remember her warning about people will be marrying coffee tables once gay marriage is allowed. So I'd like her to run just so I can ask her how many of those weddings she's been to.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 62 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles an hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 83. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows level off around 62. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
My name is Shakespeare William. I own the feather quill. I am the writer most familiar to you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair, and we are talking about what young conservative voters want and how much Republicans are actually listening to them, considering, at least on their face, they're saying that we know that we need to appeal to young voters. We need to motivate young voters, especially as the last couple cycles have proven that the youth vote for Democrats are certainly turning out. And so I bring this up now because the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel wrote an article about how Brian Schimming, chairman of the Wisconsin GOP, is saying that this is a top priority for him. And yet, at least what was brought out from what that actually looks like in the article, I'm kind of calling BS on, as far as, is this actually you listening, or is this just you finding young people who agree with the things that you're already focused on, which is inflation and crime? But I could be wrong. 844-967-2789. And I'm asking because I know a lot of our listeners are probably not Gen Z conservatives.
True.
But would love to hear from you as far as the young people in your life that you talk to. Are they politically active at all? And if they are, what are the things that they say that they care about? 844-967-2789.
We got a couple of texts, John, from the Falls. Hello, ladies. As the father of two boys, I can tell you there are three things they care about the most: climate change and having a planet that they can actually live on, gun violence after going through public school active shooter drills, their friends being treated equally regardless of race, gender, and sexuality. Republicans are actively working against all of these things, so I'm guessing that's the reason for the large gap.
Well, and it'd be interesting, John from the Falls, do your kids vote, are they more conservative or are they more progressive? Because I think that's also, I think everything you just listed makes sense as far as what I feel like when I follow like Gen Z for Change and a lot of the different grassroots groups that are focused on young progressives. But also, like, specifically, I'm interested in like what are the priorities of young conservatives and how does that differ? Because I don't know, maybe it doesn't. Maybe there's more overlap than people think there is as far as tolerance for different social issues and not, like, I did in my hunt this morning, I also found a Rolling Stone article that talked about how Gen Z conservatives just wish people would stop saying woke.
Well, that's not going to happen.
And so it was young Republicans are begging party elders to stop saying woke. And they're like, it's so to the young Republicans in attendance, the vernacular feels a bit cringe.
Oh, it's cringy.
We don't really use woke as our term, says Evan Massey, a student at the Community College of Rhode Island. Chris Johnson, the managing director of Young Conservatives for Carbon Dividends, likens its use to how out-of-touch uncle might search for the words to describe a nephew at the Thanksgiving table. I think a lot of older folks use it as if they, but they don't really know what they're talking, like, referring to. It's just like a catch-all colloquialism, and it's like, you're not, this is not a term that's reaching the youths.
The youths. Yeah, it's not cutting through, sorry. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Dave from Mequon. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, for starters. Really quickly, in regards with what you're discussing here, I'm sure you're familiar with Charlie Kirk. He's 29 years old. He's a huge ultra-conservative. He actually has a pretty wide following. Candace Owens, a little bit older, you know, she's a black female conservative. And you have James O'Keefe, you have Ben Shapiro, who's Jewish, that has a lot of followers as well. What they're really focusing is on multiple issues. One, to try to take the equation of neutrality on a lot of different subjects, but the biggest thing is that people have choices without the government, you know, interfering on everything, and that seems to be a big consensus. Now, granted, I'm much older than these people, but in talking to like my nephew, who actually is a Michigan State, he is a conservative, which is surprising because I never thought that he would be conservative.
Because he didn't get indoctrinated yet?
But the bigger thing is that there's been a big push. I guess, you know, they're talking about we have this trade, you know, supply issue right now because we have a lot of people that are kind of downplayed blue-collar jobs. It's frowned upon. And so, you know, conservatives have been trying to say, hey, listen, you know what? There are other options other than just getting a four-year degree in college. So they feel that the people, or at least conservatives, younger conservatives that do not go to college, they're trying to say, well, hey, listen, you know, they want to start up their own business. They want to start up or do something completely different. And I think sometimes there's a gap because we're focusing on one thing. We've heard about the with the sports, and obviously that's controversial. You have Moms for Liberty.
Dave, this is, we're coming up against the break. So what, if you had to sum it up in like a couple words, what is it that you think young conservatives care about? Like, give me two issues.
We got a minute.
I think national debt. They're very worried about that. I think everybody's worried about with the economic end of things. That's number one. And number two, the whole issue with the sporting world right now at this point, that seems to be very talked about, that women's female sports in particular, they feel are being destroyed.
Interesting. If you, let us know if you agree with Dave that you think that's what young conservatives care about the most, national debt and
women's
sports. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it, wrap it up. I'll take it, wrap it up.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News special report. With at least 53 people now confirmed dead in the wildfire devastation on the Hawaiian island of Maui, and entire neighborhoods of the historic city of Lahaina reduced to rubble and ash, the police chief says,
we need three things from the community right now. We need your patience, we need your prayers, and we need your perseverance.
Governor Josh Green says they actually need more.
We are going to need to house thousands of people. It's our intent to initially seek 2,000 rooms so that we can get housing for people.
On the ground in Lahaina, survivors tell their stories.
We're out there floating, and this is so surreal, and everything is burning around, explosions, cars blowing up. Like, embers were flying. We couldn't breathe. We couldn't breathe. There's no air.
President Biden's approved quick federal aid to Hawaii as it deals with one of the worst disasters in state history. CBS News Special Report. I'm Tom Foti.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to the Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago, and that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Vattenaire, and we're trying to get thoughts on what do young conservatives voters want? What will motivate them to vote? And what is the gap that's been created between the Republican Party, what the Republican Party thinks older voters want versus younger voters, and if they can actually bridge that in time for the 2024 election. And I claim I can read as much as I can read. But this is certainly not a community I can speak for, right, or I know many of. And I was trying to think. I was like, who can I even try to Benjamin.
Talk to?
Benjamin, who he was a fellow at Institute for Reforming Government. Garbedian.
Yeah.
I texted him. I don't think he has not gotten back to me. But I think he's one of the few young
conservatives.
Because he just graduated from Carroll University.
Right.
But he's one of the only young conservatives that I know that I could be like, let's talk about it. And I'd be interested to see, maybe he'll follow up with me after.
That'd be great.
I can follow up with you all on what he tells me, because my instinct of our last caller Dave McMahon saying that their two top issues are the trans bills and trans people playing in women's sports and the national debt being the two top issues, at least from everything that I read this morning in trying to prepare for this topic, neither of those came up.
That's not it.
The culture war stuff came up a little bit in the Rolling Stone article talking about how they would younger people would hope that they would stop saying woke because the word itself is cringe. But not that they're shying away from culture issues, and that there is in some groups, and we've seen this a little bit with the big survey they did it throughout the UW system of younger conservatives feeling like they get
dissed,
bullied,
looked down on.
Yeah, for having their opinions on certain social issues and yada yada when they're on college campuses. And so they touched on that, but it's like some of the ideas behind this like colloquialism that woke has become, even though no one can really define it, is certainly there with younger conservatives, but they just don't call it that. And but again, some of the things that came up was they're not as religious. They do care about the environment. They do care about how expensive everything has gotten. How do you like get a leg up in this world? They care about how expensive college is. And so, and a lot of those things, it's like, yeah, a lot of people care about those things.
Right.
So would love to hear from you. What do you think young conservative voters want? What have you heard from people, young people in your life? 844-967-2789.
Beverly from Richland Center. Good morning, Beverly. What do you think?
I think the Republicans have put themselves in a real hole. I taught college for many years, and the last few years that I taught, I noticed a real significant focus of students on social justice, and you just treat people right. Mm. It was just pervasive among all of the students. And I talked to a young Gen Zer a couple of years ago, because I suspected that a lot of this was coming from the anti-bullying training that they were getting in the elementary and high school. And this young lady said to me, she said, no. She said, that's not it. She said, it's our parents' fault. She said, they sat us down in front of the TV, and we watched Mr. Rogers and the Sesame Street and a lot of these other programs that emphasize treating people decently and being nice and whatever. And so these kids have been imprinted with this social justice, be kind, be decent message. Good luck now trying to change that.
Well, and Beverly, it's so interesting because in the article about wokeness at CPAC, there was someone who was on a panel that said, like, we need nicer rhetoric. But simultaneously, as all those people, those superstars of the conservative movement right now, Ben Shapiro, Charlie Kirk, Candace Owens, like, I wouldn't describe these people as nice
at all.
And yet they have a fairly young following. So it'd be interesting. Like, I agree with you, but I also wonder how much that is still people who are, like, if the young people you were talking to, were they also conservatives?
I came from an area that was very conservative.
Okay.
So
I guess that's true.
Of course, I don't know what their politics were, but this was, central Indiana. It was very red.
Interesting.
So it's hard to say. Plus, you've also with these young kids, they're still forming ideas, and so they're going to be influenced by some of this, rhetoric. But my guess is since they've been imprinted with this decentness from their childhood, that may eventually come through.
Super interesting.
That's
Thanks
really
for the call,
interesting.
Beverly.
Yeah, thank you so much, Beverly. 844-967-2789. If you want to call and or text and weigh in on this. What do you think, or what have people in your life, young people in your life, told you that young conservatives want?
It was interesting. There was actually a really well-written op-ed for USA Today by a USA Today intern that was titled, "The GOP Isn't Interested in Gen Z. Republican Party Has Abandoned Young Conservatives Like Me." And he just kind of rails on the fact that it's a lot of the economy stuff of just how, like, the Reagan, he literally writes out, the Reagan agenda emptied out America.
Wow.
Globalization offshored millions of jobs, disseminating the well-paying, low-education careers that allowed decades of easy access to homeownership and prosperity. My generation grew up surrounded by closed factories, shadows of once vibrant main streets, and, at least in Appalachia, an oppressive opioid crisis. And it's interesting. I mean, he ends on saying how much the importance of family should be, like, a central role of government, which I don't agree with. But it's interesting how much in reading, it's very well written, of what he has talked about as a young conservative, both fiscally and socially, that I was like, all right, right on, kid. Like, I agree with a lot of that. And so I'm actually really excited because next Wednesday, friend of the show, John Russell, who, speaking of Appalachia, that is where he lives in Ohio. We've had him on a couple different times.
He's
talking
terrific.
About the independent reporting he was doing on the Norfolk train derailment. But recently he went to a Trump rally and talked in, like, a very, you know, and he is, like, a very proud mullet wearing leftist that, like, also is a bartender at, like, a Rust Belt working class bar. And so he's very accustomed to having these conversations. But it's interesting when you watch the video of the working class issues that come through, that it's like, no, we care about that too.
The economic issues.
The economic issues that it's like, no, both people on the left and the right, like, as far as when it comes to, like, class stuff, are saying the same things. And so, yeah, so it's super interesting.
844-967-2789. From the 608, does Dave from Mech 1 realize that all the young conservatives he's describing are reading scripts written by the Koch brothers and other people? Well, and I as far as Ben Shapiro and Charlie Kirk, they're not young. I mean,
29 is still pretty young.
Ish, but they're not 18 to 22 or 23 or 24. Ben Shapiro's got to be in his mid-30s.
Yeah, he might even be 40.
Right?
And yeah. Well, and that's the other thing that I think is interesting is, like, what is, like, we've joked about this before. I think we were talking about it last week with the fact that Scott Walker is the president of YAF instead of someone who is
young.
Like, even, like, I mean, he's I don't think he's quite a boomer. Is he Gen X? Probably.
What about one of his kids?
Yeah. Who are both into politics.
Right. Wouldn't that make more sense?
And so it's like, what? So it's like sometimes this, like, top down. And I get that you're like, oh, you want people who have, like, experience to run these big organizations. Because I think that's, like, you know, it's like a $40 million operation.
Pays a pretty good salary, too, I understand.
It does. But it's like versus the article you found this morning, Jane, about David Hogg, who was one of the survivors.
The survivors.
And he has started a new, it's not a pack. It's kind of like Run for Something.
Right.
A new organization that's going to help people under 35 run for federal seats and people under 30 run for statewide seats, specifically in unchallenged open Democrat seats. And so in the same way when we've talked to She Should Run, Aaron Los Cuatraro, in an organization that recruits women who have never run before to run for something that I think specifically works with candidates who are progressive. This is a new organization that is specific on not only just trying to get people to vote, but also getting young people to run for something. And so it'd be interesting to see how much of there is a difference, and I don't know how you measure this, when it comes to the activation of young people that is bottom up versus top down. And some of these Turning Points USA, yeah, some of these bigger organizations that are pretty top down. Like, I mean, they have local chapters, but as far as an organization, like, it's an organization versus, like, Gen Z for Change is basically just a bunch of kids who, like, found each other online and started organizing.
Yes.
And how motivating and empowering that is to be running your own show versus being told this is what we're doing. So
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to check in. I just find it very indicative of how the Republicans kind of treat all of their constituents.
It's like we know best.
Well, yes, we know better than you.
And we're going to stick our fingers in our ears and pretend we don't hear that you want legalized medical marijuana, that we don't want permitless concealed carry, you know, all of those things. They just don't want to hear those things. And so they're just going to say, yes, our young conservatives are really worried about inflation.
They're really worried about men playing with
sports. Yes, that's the top thing. You know, we're talking about a generation of kids who, and John from the Falls, I think, mentioned the active shooter drills.
Yeah.
I find it remarkable that one side is so concerned about drag queens traumatizing children and not assuming that decades of active shooter drills in your schools has not traumatized our children.
I know.
I don't understand that.
Or that was why you played the Shakespeare song before, but that, you know, in the ongoing attempt to
ban everything,
reinvent education in Florida, four schools are now censoring Shakespeare to avoid sexual content.
Oh,
again,
for pity's sake.
So traumatizing.
Yes.
Shakespeare.
Well, I saw the movie Romeo and Juliet. Man, I've never gotten over it.
But yes, under the neglectful eye of Ron DeSantis, Florida's educational offerings have been looking increasingly bleak since the state adopted the Parental Rights in Education Act, also known as the Don't Say Gay Law, which some people I know that listening would not like that we called it that. But now, along with the vilification of classroom lessons about queerness and gender identity, Florida school districts are turning their focus to anything housing sexual content, including AP psychology courses, and it appears the works of William Shakespeare. This is also the same state that banned being able to show the Statue of David, correct?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Ma! According to the Tampa Bay Times, some Florida schools are planning only to use excerpts from Shakespeare's works rather than the full text of his plays to avoid content that's too sexual, foul for the law. There's, quote, there's some raunchiness in Shakespeare because that's what sold tickets during his time. During his time, doesn't that still sell tickets?
Oh, give me a break.
But it's interesting because it's poetry. So you have to have a certain, like, Shakespeare's not explicit, right? Like, a lot of Shakespeare is reading in between the lines.
Absolutely.
And there is ton of innuendos.
Without,
don't get me
doubt,
wrong.
For sure.
But, like, you got to get what the innuendo is. It's not just like,
it's not in your
and
face.
And then she effed, and then
right,
this,
right,
this no. P went in this V.
Damn.
Oh, all right. Well, when we come back, three headlines in a lie. We missed it last week. So we'll see how Jane can do. You can play along at home. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back.
If music be the food of love, play on.
Et tu, Brute.
Did you ever know?
The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently, that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get to the Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thank you for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 62 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles an hour. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 83. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 62, partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 64 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are back to playing our fun weekly game of three headlines and a lie, where we go through four headlines. Three of them are real. And Jane has to pick out which one is not real.
I am not feeling confident today.
No?
No.
Well, what makes you feel more confident versus other weeks?
Because some weeks I just feel like I've covered a lot more material, you know, off the air and read a lot more things. And this has not been one of those weeks.
No. So you're not feeling confident when Luke Mathers is here tomorrow for our Civic Media crossover and you get to play a headline game again?
We'll see how it, I did not do well last week.
We didn't have it last week. So who did against Maggie?
Maggie.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah. Whatever.
I think, I think we went off the rails a little bit during that episode. All right. Let's kick it off with number one, our first headline. Italian man crushed to death by falling wheels of cheese.
Oh.
This could happen in Wisconsin.
What was it? Mozzarella?
I don't know.
Probably not.
That may not be real.
They don't make mozzarella and wheels, I don't think.
But yes, Italian man crushed to death by falling wheels of cheese.
That's tragic.
Number two. A dog hit the pedal of on a golf course. No. A dog hit the pedal on a golf cart and ran over a four-year-old who was uninjured.
I think that's true.
Okay.
We'll see what my other choices are.
Number three, driver injured after car crash into second floor Pennsylvania home.
I saw the picture.
Okay, so you know that one's real.
Yep.
So you've narrowed your choices. Meteorologists say fog can anger migrating birds and cause mid-flight fights.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Let's go through. The meteorologists say fog can anger migrating birds and cause mid-flight fights.
All right.
All right. So all four again. Number one, Italian man crushed to death by falling wheels of cheese. Number two, a dog hit the pedal on a golf cart and ran over a four-year-old who was uninjured. Number three, driver injured after car crashed into second floor of Pennsylvania home. And number four, meteorologists say fog can anger migrating birds and cause mid-flight fights.
Okay, that is the lie. No, I'm sorry, three headlines. Yeah, that is the lie.
That is the lie.
The fog and the birds and bird fights.
That is the lie.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you.
So yes, indeed, a Italian man was crushed to death by falling wheels of cheese.
That's terrible.
Giacomo Ciparini? Sure. 74 died Sunday evening in his warehouse near Bergamo. The owner of a cheese factory in northern Italy has died after he was crushed when thousands of his cheese wheels fell on him. Woof.
I guess he died doing what he loved.
Yeah, a Parmesan hard-style cheese that is popular in Italy was in his warehouse near Bergamo. I don't know if I'm saying that right. On Sunday evening, tending to 15,000 cheese wheels that were aging. All of a sudden, a 30-foot-high shelf holding the wheels, which weigh about 20 kilograms or about 44 pounds, gave way. That created a domino effect and sent the massive wheels flying and ultimately burying their maker.
That's terrible.
That's terrible. This is what, don't work alone, people. I don't know if it would have made a difference if someone had been there. All right. Yes, indeed. A dog hit the pedal on a golf cart, ran over a four-year-old who was uninjured.
That's amazing.
A fire crew's dog jumped on the pedal of a golf cart, golf cart, which then struck a 4-year-old Michigan girl, leaving her with no visible injuries. I don't know why there was a random golf cart or why the
dog jumped in there.
Why the firefighters were there, but Bella, an arson dog, jumped down from the seat of a golf cart and landed on the accelerator pedal, sending the cart towards people attending a Friday night festival. So, yeah.
At least it had
crisis averted.
Yes, that's good. That's good.
And then I also saw the picture for this one. And I
this
was like,
is crazy.
Whoa.
This was intentional.
So, yeah. So, driver injured after car crashed into second floor of Pennsylvania home. So, a driver was taken to the hospital after their car flew into a second floor. So, imagine that. It wasn't
It's
like,
a two-story house.
And into the second floor in the Decatur Township on Sunday. And so, upon arrival, the vehicle was found to have crashed into the second floor of the home, and the driver had been removed from the car. The driver was transported to Geisinger Louistown Hospital. The driver was traveling at a rate of speed and veered off the road into a field. There was a change in elevation between the field and the house. Because of this and the high rate of speed, the vehicle became airborne before hitting the house. So it was intentional in that he veered off and was driving through the field, but it wasn't intentional that he tried to hit the house.
Oh, I see. And I thought it was like an ex-husband or something deciding to launch himself into his ex-wife's house.
No, I think it was going into the house was still an accident.
Oh, well.
I don't think that was like, this is how I'm going to get back at that bee. Like, I'm gonna never, I may just end myself, but at least I'll wreck her house.
You never know. There's lots of crazy out there.
But yes, indeed. And then, no, apparently fog cannot anger migrating birds.
Well, that I'm good. There's one good thing we don't have to worry about.
That is good. All right. Well, fun hour.
Yes. She's here.
She's here in person.
I didn't know we got to have her here.
Yes, we are now after a 2-week hiatus. She was traveling, then I was traveling. And so Dr. Kristen Lyerly is not only back on the show, she's in the studio today.
I'm excited.
And so we will be back at the top of the hour, after the top of the hour news, with public cervix announcement. And kicking off with just in time in my 7-week countdown, the FDA has approved the first treatment for postpartum depression.
That's great.
So we're going to talk about that. There's new headlines this week about Wegovy. I feel like every week there's like a pros and cons list that comes out about Wegovy and Ozempic. And like, it may be great for you. It may be cause suicidal thoughts.
You'll look great.
But you'll look great. You also apparently might do more to actually save your life in that it may save off strokes and heart attacks. And it's so, yeah. So still up in the air. But and then at 11:30, Chris Drosner is here to talk about the great taste of the Midwest. One of the greatest beer festivals, he says, in the country. So stick around for the second hour. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Watch me, yes, I will. Watch me,
as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.